Well, let's go ahead and proceed. I believe Commissioner Fish is going to be here.
Council, come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Let's. We have time certain at 9:30, but first we have some communications items, so let's read those first, please, Carla, number 16.
Request of Braden Fuller to address council regarding overlap of software and governments, public versus private ownership.
Good morning, Mr. Fuller. As you may know, it's a three-minute period. Please state your name for the record, and if you're representing an organization, just let us know if that's the case.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, my name is Braden Fuller, a.k.a. Braden.com. I'm here today as a representative of PostSoftware.org to talk about the intersection between software and government, the internet, video of these communications, to which there are two possible futures for our society. In one direction leads a society that is respecting of personal computing privacy and civil liberties, and of equal economic opportunity. All kinds of our computing devices would cooperate, compete, and innovate. From Apple to Lenovo, laptops and desktops, televisions, mobile devices, phones, tablets, supercomputers, and more. This society would support video formats such as WebM, W-E-B-M, and OGG, O-G-G, that have patent licenses granted to the public. So the recording of this communication from City Hall as video would be as public and civil as our laws. In the other direction leads a society of secret laws of software to which the owners of the software of our devices fight to control, rule, and divide us. When this communication here in City Hall is recorded and goes out to the internet, it would lead to conflicts between people based upon their technology that leaves many without the means to be able to access critical information to function in society. There would be support for formats for video in the MP4 format and the H.264 codec and the secret flash plugin. With the multi-decade interactive process of developing software, much like revising our laws, this society would become dominated and monopolized by computational idea patents indefinitely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Number 17, Carla, please.
Request of Berna D. Plummer to address council regarding Santa Commercial Organization operating on Pioneer Square.
Ms. Plummer, here? Is she not here this morning? Okay, then we'll have to move on to number 18 then, please.
Request of Evelyn Bross to address council regarding more restrictions on fireworks. She has had to reschedule.
Okay.
Number 19, request of Charles B. Ormsby to address council regarding Bureau of Environmental Services projects that impact area of the Birds Hill CPO NA.
Mr. Ormsby, are you here?
He was having some transportation problems this morning. So, number 20, request of Kimberly Kaminsky to address council regarding lack of process by which the City Commission determined to add fluoride chemicals to our water supply.
Good morning, Ms. Kaminsky.
Good morning.
Same procedure. You have 3 minutes, unless you're representing an organization. Give us your name for the record and let us know if you are representing an organization.
My name is Kimberly Kaminsky, and I'm here as a concerned citizen, and in the interest of full disclosure, I'm also the director of Clean Water Portland and the executive director of Oregon Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. I want to begin by welcoming our new mayor, Mr. Hales, and our new commissioner, Mr. Novick, and with regards to the rest of the commission, thank you for hearing my testimony this morning. As most of you probably know, I'm opposed to the addition of fluoride chemicals in our water. But I'm not here to talk about the issue of fluoridation. I'm here to talk about the lack of public process by which this decision was made by this city council with the last city panel of with Mr. Leonard and Mayor Adams. One really needs to question why this decision was made, and what I'm here to say today is that as city council members, we expect accountability and we expect transparency in the decision-making process. This was a decision that was made behind closed doors. It was made without public process. It was made by interest groups, and we were not informed of what was happening behind closed doors. The decision was made by Mr. Fish and Mr. Adams and Mr. Leonard before any public hearings took place. The decision was made before any notice to the public or opportunity for the public to be heard on the issue. I want to commend Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman for standing up about the process that needs to take place as a panel of citizens, of council members representing the citizens of Portland, to not go behind closed doors to make decisions that affect literally hundreds of thousands of people. We expect transparency, we expect accountability, and I'm here today to welcome you to the council, and I'm also here to say that as a citizen of Portland, we expect you to be held to very high standards. We want accountability, we want transparency, and I want to thank you for your time and thank you for running for public office. It's not something to be taken lightly, and welcome to the City Council.
Thank you very much. Thanks. So I think we're now ready for the time certain item, and I don't...
Did you want to do the consent?
Sorry, consent first. I'll eventually... remember all the rules.
You will.
No, I think there's one item that, that's been requested to pull from consent. Is that correct, Commissioner Fish?
25. Mm-hmm. The commissioners asked that to be referred back. Shall
so
I?
No objection. We'll.
Sorry. The title. Okay. Item 25, extend contract with Online Business Systems to provide 24/7 maintenance support to the Enterprise Service Bus and increase the not to exceed value by $250,000.
And so you've requested to pull this back to your office for further work, I believe. Any objection? Then that is ordered, and the rest of the consent agenda is ready to be voted on unless there are any further items to take off. Not, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
Now I think we have a time certain item, number 21.
Authorize the Bureau of Transportation to acquire certain permanent and temporary rights necessary for construction of the Southwest Boones Ferry Road, Southwest Stevens Street project through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioner.
I have to push the button on that microphone.
Right there. There you go.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Mahon with the Bureau of Transportation. I'm the project manager for the Southwest Stevenson and Boones Ferry Road project. With me here today is Michelle Dellinger, PBOT traffic engineer, and Martin Maloney, PBOT right-of-way agent working on the project. I'd like to briefly talk about the purpose of today's ordinance and provide some background information on the project before calling up four stakeholders that have come here today to testify on the project. Following that, we'd be glad to address any questions or concerns you may have. Okay, so the ordinance we're filing today will serve to demonstrate that there is a public need for the project and will authorize PBOT staff to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights for two parcels adjacent to the intersection in order to construct the necessary safety improvements. This ordinance, also stipulates that PBOT will follow the right-of-way acquisition procedures outlined in Chapter 35 of the Oregon Revised Statutes. So the intent of the project is to address safety issues at this intersection, such as inadequate site stopping and site distances. We want to make it safer for both drivers turning onto Southwest Boone's Ferry and for pedestrians wishing to cross Boone's Ferry at this location. The project was initiated by City Council in 2006 in response to concerns raised by the community regarding the intersection. At that time, City Council directed PBOT to develop design alternatives and preliminary cost estimates for the project. PBOT did that, and then in 2008 allocated funding for the project, and we were able to move forward at that time. We developed three alternatives and determined one was feasible to move forward with. Once we determined the feasible solution, we worked with the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association, property owners, and stakeholders to address their concerns and refine the design where possible. In fall of 2001, we formed a stakeholder advisory committee to help resolve any outstanding issues or concerns regarding the realignment. The advisory committee submitted their recommendation to the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association last spring, and in May of 2012, the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association held a neighborhood-wide vote on the project. 99 community members attended that meeting, and 92 voted in support of the project. Six were against, and one was undecided. And I briefly wanted to touch upon the design alternatives that were considered, but determined to have fatal flaws. The first was a roundabout. PBOT determined it would be difficult to construct and was cost prohibitive, approximately $1 million over what we have allocated for the project. It would involve six parcels, so we'd need to take right-of-way from all six properties at the intersection. And it really only addresses speed at the intersection itself, not comprehensively along Boone's Ferry. And it's also at the existing alignment, so there still would be the site distance issues and cars coming around a blind corner and potentially running into vehicles slowed at the roundabout. The other option was signalizing the existing intersection, and PBOT had concerns about this alternative as well. We feared that it would cause accidents, rear-end collisions, because there still would be that blind curve. It also does not meet the state's signal warrants for an intersection. So this is the proposed design, which is the intersection realignment. And there have been various iterations, and this is the alignment we decided upon that resolves the site distance issues, but also and minimizes the right-of-way take to the extent possible. So just moving it as far south as needed to the crest of that vertical curve so that drivers can safely see oncoming vehicles. The one thing this design does not do is address speeding on Boone's Ferry, and this is a concern of the neighborhood. Unfortunately, PBOT does not have the tools to do anything additional than what's already been done to date, which is putting in a permanent speed reader board in the northbound direction. We think with this project we may be able to wire another speed reader board in the southbound direction to help conditions. But other than that, absolutely. Yes, and it'll start flashing when you're going over the posted speed. Yes. Yeah. So we might be able to do another one in the southbound direction, but other than that, Boone's Ferry is a district collector, an emergency response route, transit route, so we don't have the additional tools to calm Boone's Ferry. But what we can do is make it safer for vehicles and drivers turning onto the street. The other thing, it's not a perfect solution. It requires right-of-way acquisition. But we feel it'll improve conditions out there today, and we can construct it within budget. So next steps for this project would be to start the right-of-way acquisition phase and start the negotiations with the property owners, and then also move forward with final design on the project. And then the plan would be to go to bid late spring and start construction this summer. So that concludes my presentation at this time. I'd like to call up the community members, unless there are any questions at this point.
Can't quite tell from the drawing. Is there a pedestrian crosswalk included? I see the curb. I see the ramps there, but
There are sidewalks and the ADA accessible ramps, but no marked crosswalk at this time. Not that we're not precluding it. I mean, we could add it, but
design would allow that. Would allow a flashing light if that was needed.
Correct.
Later.
Okay. And could be signalized in the future if it does meet warrants.
Okay.
Yes.
Other questions?
So under this proposal, Stevenson Court would no longer enter into Boone's Ferry?
No, it would go into Stevenson Street. Correct. And it would be stop controlled, and then vehicles coming from Stevenson Court would turn on to Stevenson Street.
And then the property that is desired to be acquired is... Is it just the south corner of...
So there's two right-of-way takings.
Where's the property? Yeah, where's the right-of-way takings?
Sure. The most significant one is on the south side, and that is owned by Patrick and Cynthia Moore, and they're here to testify today. We are also taking a sliver of the property on the north. That's Gene and Michael Walker, and that is for the alignment of Stevenson Court coming into Stevenson Street. So that is about approximately 500 square feet for that north parcel for the shifting of the road.
Just that little clip off the corner there.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
And then a much larger amount of property there. Okay.
Yeah.
Within the prop, the black dotted line is the property line, right?
Yeah, it'll be the new right-of-way line, yep. Yeah.
And where is proposing to acquire the whole of that, including the east side corner that's going to be vegetated, that will be city property?
I'm sorry, which area, Commissioner Fritz?
This little piece here that's not...
Yes, so that will be, and all the green you're seeing is a new curb line, so that will be city right-of-way, and we plan on landscaping and planting trees to provide a visual cue that vehicles can no longer go through.
Hmm.
And then it'll be landscaped. There may even be a swale depending on BES's stormwater requirements. And we will finalize those details during the next phase of design. Yes.
And tell me about the how you value the cost of that of the property that will be acquired.
Sure.
What's the mechanism?
Would you like to address that?
Yeah, we actually have an appraiser complete a report to value the area, including the property damages to the property, anything, and basically value. Property rights, and from there we'll, if this, when the ordinance is complete, we'll be able to have the authority to offer on the properties, both the Walkers and the Moores. So
they get real market value?
Correct.
Other questions
Carla,
for staff?
We lost the screen here.
Okay. Unless there are other questions for staff, then let's do have the community members up. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have some folks signed up to testify. Carla, please.
We do. We have five people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Cynthia Moore, Gene Walker, and Mike Walker.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Please state your names for the record when you speak.
My name is Cynthia Moore, and I'm a long-term resident of the Arnold Creek neighborhood. And over those 55 years, I've heard a lot of complaints from users of Stevenson about the intersection at Boone's Ferry Road. And those complaints, I believe, have come up to City Council or the city many times over those 55 years, probably longer, and Multnomah County before then. The complaints are always the same. You have limited line of sight. Traffic goes too fast. People don't respect the recommended speed limit of 25 miles an hour, and people are always asking, why can't they slow down here? Why can't they slow down there? And pedestrians really have to scurry across the road wherever they can. The neighborhood wants improvements to the intersection. The plan before City Council today is designed to improve a small stretch of roadway along Boone's Ferry Road to meet state standards. In the ideal design, the The design would keep the posted speed at 40 miles an hour and create a stretch of roadway that will make it safe for drivers who travel at 49 miles an hour. The plan before City Council today will improve the roadway for Boone's Ferry commuters, who I believe are primarily non-neighborhood and non-Multnomah County residents. There will be some limited benefits to drivers on Stevenson and virtually limit no benefits to pedestrians. The plan before City Council today does add a certain line of sight, but it will not slow traffic down. I think you may have heard testimony before from the punch and pray drivers. And as scary as those people sound when they describe their driving style, I don't think they're going to gain any comfort by being able to stop and actually see the traffic buzzing by. Pedestrians will still need to scurry across the road wherever they can. As noted, there are no plans for crosswalks. And the underlying reason for the no crosswalks is that the topography of the intersection itself remains very challenging. And where they would want to put in a crosswalk, drivers can't see that crosswalk at all. So pedestrians may gain a false sense of security that drivers would behave with the crosswalk signal when they actually can't see it at all. And that's the underlying reason why there's no crosswalks in the plan. In addition, I believe the plan introduces a new risk to a very dangerous intersection. Drivers coming south along Boone's Ferry Road, currently, it's a large intersection, so they move right up onto Stevenson. In the new proposed plan, they're going to actually need to slow down and take a sharper curve. So now the new risk would be the potential for rear-end collisions with drivers coming up around a blind corner and then facing slowing down traffic. You don't want them to move into oncoming traffic and go around because, again, the topography limits the ability to see those oncoming drivers, so it remains very, very dangerous. The only way to improve the intersection itself is to slow traffic down, and I know that's something you hear from residents all over the city of Portland, but it's true. This intersection needs remediation by slowing the traffic down, and this plan does not address that at all. At best, we can hope that the speed of traffic will remain the same, except increase slightly through the intersection itself. The worst case scenario is that traffic is going to increase through that intersection. I don't believe that the goal of what the neighborhood wanted to achieve has been met here. And as stewards of public funds, I want to know, is this the best use of those public monies? You have limited mitigation to the intersection by line of sight only. You have no real gain for pedestrians. They still have to scurry across the best they can, and probably with increased speed of traffic. You have improvements that benefit mostly non-neighborhood and non-Multnomah County commuters. So I would like the City Council to consider what is the best use of the funds. I'm asking the City Council to vote no on this proposal, and I'm asking the City Council to return this plan back to the Transportation Bureau and the design team and ask them to find a solution that will indeed meet the needs of the neighborhood and make this intersection safer for all users. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Please pose a question. Thank you for your testimony. And I think this is the only matter before us this morning, so right. We have the luxury of going a little deeper. So you've asked us to send this back, and you've been very clear about what you think are the deficiencies. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to offer us some guidance about how you think we could better address the traffic calming.
So that's something that Nancy brought before because we're all members of the subcommittee, that she asked the design team to consider, and we really didn't get a good resolution. And one of the things that's happened in the past is the trees, the bushes be trimmed down significantly to the south of the intersection itself. We've created, there's a lot of trees, a berm, ways to reduce noise onto our property. We're suggesting that that berm, the vegetation be removed to increase that line of sight. And we also asked the city to consider putting in some kind of remediation. So again, it forces people to, it reduces the size of the intersection itself, but not necessarily to a point where it's going to slow down and force drivers to almost stop before they turn. And the idea was that we can increase the line of sight, we can improve the intersection without necessarily making substantial improvements to Boone's Ferry on that short stretch of road that will actually increase what I believe will increase the speed of traffic.
Just one follow-up question, if I may. If the council were to adopt this approach as sort of a phase one, do you believe that, is it possible within this framework that we could come back at some point, gauge our experience with these changes, and then potentially make further changes?
By adopting this proposal, one of the things that I found interesting in the whole exchange over the past couple of years is that one of the things that we've always wanted is a streetlight. The neighborhood is not large enough. The traffic does not warrant a streetlight, and we know that it's the goal not to add streetlights. So I don't know that would necessarily I don't think that's a real proposal. That's a real outcome for here. We'll increase the line of sight, but not to the degree that it would add necessarily a lot of safety if you added in a light, which is the problem today too. We've asked for, one of the things we were watching is what's happening on, I can't remember the name of the road, where they put in speed bumps. To ask if maybe that was a solution to put speed bumps through, not only through Stevenson, but down and help those people at Tryon Creek that struggle so much a little bit to the south. And I guess that's not realistic for the traffic, for the road itself either, because the type of road it is. So I don't know if there is remediation I don't know if there is another plan if we put this plan together that will add any more benefits.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'll press you a little further on that same point. So the design of this intersection isn't your critique so much as maybe other elements that you think should have been included, if I'm paraphrasing you correctly there. In other words, the architecture of how this intersection is being realigned, that's not the problem. You don't have a different orientation to suggest. You're suggesting other elements like the vegetation or the sight distance or the light. To improve the situation by spending money differently rather than making these physical changes to the intersection. Do I get that correct?
To a certain degree. One of the things that was interesting in the very first meeting we had with the city, or the second meeting we had with the city, was that Michelle came back and said that, and Liz came back and said that one of the things that they understood from the neighborhood was that they wanted improvements, roadway improvements. So they took away that information and made improvements to Boone's Ferry Road. The intersection itself was sort of secondary. In the neighborhood's mind, that's a primary issue rather than secondary issue. So I believe that the design itself was a design to improve Boone's Ferry Road, that stretch of Boone's Ferry Road, to meet state standards, but not necessarily make the intersection safer for Stevenson drivers and for pedestrians.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Please.
Hi. My name is Jean Walker.
Just push the button there. That's right. I guess Carla does that for that one. You already on?
Okay. Yeah? Thank you very much. My name is Jean Walker. My husband and I are here today. We own the property, which is Gracemont, lot number 10, the small sliver that will be taken, which in our eyes is more than a small sliver, but I've owned the property since 1988, and in the first year that I moved there, I made a lot of attempts to try to get this solution or to have some improvements on this intersection. I've witnessed many, many accidents on that intersection, along with a fatality accident a few years back. I have a lot of concerns for the intersection in the plan as it states right now. The proposal that is currently the city has for us is an extremely costly one, which to me doesn't have any solution into the actual problem of safety. They're allocating, or they're looking at about $1.5 million to reconstruct this intersection. Currently, there is a sign at that curve, which is a dangerous curve because you go up a hill and around the corner onto going north. There's a sign that does say 25 miles an hour. As the reader board that they put up a while back that helps people understand how fast they're going, we know they're going an average of 35 to 47 miles an hour around that curb, and that's where people are having a hard time getting out from onto Boone's Ferry from either the court or the street. Extremely, extremely dangerous situation due to speeding. The sign, the 25 mile an hour sign there is a yellow sign, so it's driving speed, but people don't do it. It's just so ridiculously dangerous. If you were to try to cross the street to take the bus, you're putting your life in your hands. And when they say punch and pray, the term that people use in the neighborhood, you literally are punching your car into that Boone's Ferry area to get onto Boone's Ferry. There is currently a flashing light at that intersection. We really do want to see a stoplight put at the existing intersection with a pre-light before that warns people that there's a light coming up. But the city said that that's not what they want to do, even though it's been done other places. The stopping distance in the plan that they have proposed, to me, we have gone out there with our cars, slowed down at the area where they proposed to put the new intersection. Cars were ready to ram me from behind. You have to stop almost to turn right onto Stevenson Street in the proposal that's the existing proposal. So there are new risks. The other thing, too, basically on our property, we're zoned R10, so we have the ability to put two more houses on that property. We do have a concern about the acquisition of some of our property and how that will work out with, the taking of the land. Also, not shown on your map very easily because it's not three-dimensional, is on that sliver of property on our corner, there's a berm. It's about 10 feet high, along with full-growth trees, lots of plantings that people have put in over the years to buffer the sound and the noise pollution and the dirt, the dust pollution. The current plan that they have is not going to address that situation. They want to put less growth, trees that you can still see Boone's Ferry in. It's a huge concern for noise, and we really would like to see definitely the berm kept or a huge berm put in there. There's so many more aspects to this whole thing. Our neighbors across the street have stated that they're going to be moving, so the acquisition of their property on Stevenson and Boone's Ferry, the sliver that's not addressed right there, could be an option to make the line of sight better if some of that property was taken. In the past, since I've been here for over 20-some years, 30 years now, it is known that in the springtime when there's full growth on Boone's Ferry, on the Moore's property and the Mackey's property, which is just north of ours on the corner, when the blackberries get trimmed down and trimmed back about 10 feet, it is much easier to get out of that intersection. It's like night and day. And my concern with the city is that they're not addressing the speeding issue, which they have said, and Liz, quote, it's not a perfect solution. So why are we spending $1.5 million on something that's not going to reduce the speed, not going to make it safe, not going to let pedestrians cross the road safely? And we know that in the future, they're going to have a pedestrian crossing. They're going to have a stoplight, which is going to be a whole bunch more money in addition to what they've already proposed. So with that, I hope you take in consideration. I know it's a tricky intersection to understand. If you have questions, I'd love to hear what they are, because we know this is probably your first time understanding what this piece of property is like and the intersection. So I thank you for my time and your time.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Questions?
I'll wait.
Might as well.
Good morning. My name is Mike Walker. Of course, Gene Walker's husband. I do believe that these ladies here have outlined it quite clearly for you. The issue is the speed. During the time that I've been there, my first letters to the city went out in 95. Then I sent a videotape in 99. I never got a reply for either one of them. I've been to countless accidents at this intersection. In fact, it made me a first responder for Oregon, the state of Oregon. I have a medical pack, flares. I've probably, I can't tell you how many accidents there are at this intersection. And the problem, flat out, is speed. According to your paperwork there, and you'll see there, that flashing light telling you the speed, all I've noticed from that is people are trying to see how high they can make that digit go. That is basically what they've been doing. And the thing is people come flying around this corner and you can't tell, but this grade goes up and then all of a sudden there's a corner with a guardrail. And just the other night, somebody slammed into that. And I don't know if the last accident a week ago, they blocked off the road because somebody did it again. Flat out, the problem is speed. During the nighttime, even, there's tractor-trailer trucks that come down that road, engine brakes going if they know that that corner is there. I've heard hard braking at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You get kids that are flying through the roads because they're curvy. And once you get past the Moore's property heading south, it's a flat-out go, and people gun it down that road. I've contacted the state about making it a safety corridor. We have a deer problem there. We have a deer family in our yard. The state says it's a city road. I contact the city. The city says it's a state road. Nobody wants to take any further action as long as that goes. I think spending $1.5 million for all we can simply do for starters is just try some steps first. Cut down the vegetation on the corner of Mackey's property. That'll open up a line of sight that would be incredible. The Moore's property to the south, cutting down a whole area there will make another line of sight that is critical for allowing my wife and I to get out of Stevenson Court. And that's where we literally, if you do look at that piece of paper, Stevenson Court up here, we have to drive into the middle of the intersection and stop. And we are sitting ducks here in the middle of the intersection while people are flying around this corner. And if you notice how this road is here, during the summertime, the sunlight, as soon as people come around this corner, they're blinded. And anybody who is stuck left in the middle of this intersection is fair game. And that's one of the biggest problems, is we have to come out into the middle of this intersection and wait for who's ever going to come flying around the corner or flying from down here. And it's an issue of speed, flat out. And that is the biggest safety concern that we have. And I really do compliment Liz and her team working with us. I mean, it's a real toughie, and it's something that I think we need to take in steps and try to come to a better, much better solution. And I thank you for your time or any questions you might have.
Okay. Any other questions at this
point? So I'm looking at a two-dimensional thing, but I do know this area, not as well as you do. But the existing intersection, the main, I mean, I'm looking at the existing intersection saying, well, that seems like it has more of a line of sight than the proposed intersection.
Correct. And not only that, sir.
So, I mean, what would be wrong with this? What, in your opinion, is wrong with the current intersection? Is it?
Well, a big problem that you have that you don't have on yours, and I'm not too sure. You don't get the curve. I don't know which. They've given us several different pictures to look at, but you're not seeing this curve that's right around the corner here. If we open up the line of sight on either side, it will dramatically change the visibility along that line and slowing it down. Somehow it has to be slowed down. I don't believe.
Yeah, but let's assume we're not going to do speed bumps. We're not going to do
speed bumps are not the answer to that at all. But 40 miles an hour.
Would improving the line of sight in of itself make this intersection
greatly
as is safe? In your opinion,
greatly improve it.
Do you have any thoughts, Ms. Moore, on that?
Can I address you with a curve?
We have the curve. We have the curve. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the members of our team was from the Southwest, is a member of the Southwest Transportation Bureau, I believe, and his name is Roger, and I'm blanking out on his last name totally. But his proposal, or one of the proposals that he brought to us, was to cut down the vegetation on the Mackey property, cut down the vegetation and the trees, which is would be expensive for us to do it, $10,000 a tree or whatever. Cut that down, cut down the berm, and put in some remediation so people don't swing so quickly onto Stevenson. Just narrow the intersection, give it some more definition, but not as defined as the future proposal is. And he thought that was a reasonable solution for the whole intersection.
Okay, thank you.
Other solutions that were put forth were to close off Stevenson Court and make it a one-way so that when you're coming around this very tight curve, and it is, you're going uphill, and to make all entry going in here and up on Stevenson Road. So it's one-way. This Stevenson Court is an actual court which wraps around this way onto Stevenson much further up here. Mm-hmm. So having traffic flow go in the same direction, going either onto the court or onto Stevenson, and then all the people on the court, which there are about 20 homes or so, would come off Stevenson and get on safely this way through this site, was a proposal that I had made, but there were issues with, well, we don't want to close off the street because of emergency, but if you make it one way, you can still have emergency vehicles get in through either, through the whole horseshoe loop. But I think there's more discussion that needs to be had, but I think that speeding is definitely the whole issue. And like the city has said, this isn't a perfect solution. Well, that's an extremely costly, not quite a solution to the problem. It's a lot of money.
Great. Well, thank you all. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
The last two who signed up are Michael Dexter and Marianne Fitzgerald.
Morning.
Good morning.
Michael, are you on first?
I can. So, Michael Dexter, Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association Chair and former transportation representative and inhabitant of that intersection for 15 years. Very briefly, I do want to stand by the previous speaker about using open formats in government. I was very pleased to hear that. We can discuss that separately. This is a flawed intersection. It would never be permitted today as it stands. It's a country road that is currently being pushed to serve as an I-5 alternative for West Lynn and Lake Oswego and Tualatin traffic based on the traffic studies. It's not our traffic. I hope that's very clear. It's a shame that the city of Portland is paying for any improvement, but that's the balance of it. It's legally a district collector, which is a very key term, and it's a source of our one bus. The entire neighborhood has one bus, one school in it. They're very far apart with no sidewalks. It's a very challenging neighborhood. There's no question there. And I am in the property closest to the blind curve, and I've borne the worst of the challenges of this intersection. That means an average of one car every 2 years, statistically, although I miss quite a few that happen late at night and get cleaned up pretty quickly. There's been one fatality. There has been a fatality within a quarter mile of to the north towards Portland. And it's, there's no question, it's a challenge. Nonetheless, we chose to live there. They now have houses on side streets that go to district collectors as opposed to driveways right into the worst brunt of the stream of traffic. And our unique neighborhood has its qualities and its drawbacks. Now, it's a neglected corner of Portland. It's right on the border. So as I mentioned, it's either Lake Oswego's problem. And Lake Oswego says, no, that's Portland's problem. And the state says, no, that's the city's problem. And that goes around. And above all, on speeding, those speed limits, as I understand it, are set in Salem, not by, say, through the input of our local police officers who come to our meetings and have to deal with those speeding issues firsthand. I am very grateful that the city and PBOT have approached the neighborhood and engaged us and set up the committee. They did exhaust a lot of options, and we trust PBOT every single day for every mile we travel. Let's see. I've got a lot of points, and I see the clock ticking. I do believe they've made their best effort with the challenging situation provided. This plan will narrow the road, which will provide traffic calming, as Roger Averbeck, that's the gentleman she was referring to, did point out. It does not in any way preclude having a future. May I continue?
Please. Thank you.
It will not preclude a change of signs for probably a few $1,000s to reduce the speed, but that's a political decision, not a mechanical one. It will not preclude future stoplights, as we've discussed. It will. There was recently a lot of talk about the brush and such. It is up to the neighborhoods to maintain their public right-of-way in front of their homes, and I've been last summer and winter clearing the brush directly across my property where it is that blind corner. So we all have to participate on the, you know, at state level and individual level. Those are my key points. I'm happy to answer questions based on other points that have been brought up. I was not able to attend the meeting where the Neighborhood Association voted 92 in favor, 6 against, and 1 abstention, but I do accept that vote. It's been a pleasure to work with the city, and I respect its engagement of the neighborhood. We don't see that very often, as the neighbors have pointed out.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
The Neighborhood Association as a whole strongly supports this solution.
According to that vote, yes. It does impact neighbors, and I absolutely respect that. I do want to fault the city and PBOT for approaching neighbors as if they're businesses and showing up one morning and putting out stakes and saying, oh, yep, we're surveying for the project. Like, what do you mean? That really upsets neighbors. This is our home. I hope you respect that. I must trust that the city and PBOT will fairly compensate the neighbors. If their property gets smaller, I hope their property taxes go down to reflect that. And I trust that if this project does in any way increase speed, that PBOT will continue to be responsive and address those issues. This is an ongoing challenge. We would also like to see sidewalks. We'd also like to see countless improvements that others take for granted.
Marianne, good morning.
Hi, my name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm the president of Southwest Neighborhoods Coalition, but I'm not here representing Sweeney. I'm here representing Roger. Roger Averbeck could not be here today, and he really wanted to. And he shared with me an April 30th letter that the Stakeholder Advisory Committee prepared, and I don't think that was in your packet. But I just wanted to say that from the Southwest neighborhood's perspective, this is a high priority intersection. You've already heard stories about all the accidents that happen at this intersection, and we were happy to receive some SDC funds a few years ago because of the infill in the neighborhood. I mean, between the growth in Lake Oswego, the growth in traffic, and the infill within the community, it really warrants some improvements. And in this stakeholder advisory committee letter, it recognizes that this isn't the perfect solution. But it says, you know, it's a lot better than doing nothing. So I just wanted to say that the proposal in that map that you've been studying is consistent with the stakeholder advisory committee recommendations. I think it makes it easier to signalize the intersection at a future date rather than the current intersection, because there's a proposed new development on the, I guess, the east side, that that would be also serviced by a future signal when warrants are met. But I just wanted to note, as you said, the strong support from the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association, and you know, we just really want to move forward and construct it. That these changes are needed to make it safer. It may not be perfect, but we think it will be better in terms of safety for motor vehicles, for pedestrians and bicyclists that live in and travel through our neighborhoods.
Maybe I should have asked this question of staff and Will, but there's on our map, we show at least a right-of-way for Southwest 8th Drive to the south. Doesn't look like it's improved. You mentioned that
that's the one that I was referring to, yeah.
There's the potential of future development to the south. Is it too much to hope for that this would actually align the intersection and that we wouldn't have an offset like that ultimately? Or
I can speak to that. The property that the new, shall we say, the new crossing, which would become more of a T than it's sort of angled into,
right,
is in the development stages for 8 homes. And that developer has pledged money towards the project. 8th Drive is virtual and ends in the park, so it does not provide any substantial trail access or otherwise. And I have one small point on the sharp corner there.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it would be good to shave that whole corner off. If you drive it, you'll see the boulders there. It is solid rock. That would be a monumental engineering project, and it was considered. There's no question. The PBOT has been quite thorough, and I respect them for that.
Other questions? Okay, thank you both very much.
Any
further questions for staff? Maybe you want us to respond to a couple of things here, like this intersection design question that I just raised.
Maybe the vegetation issue.
Yeah, and the vegetation issue as well.
Absolutely, we can respond to that. Just in listening to the testimony, I think, or I realized one of the things we didn't highlight in our presentation was the topography out there and the vertical curves, and then how that factors into what solutions are feasible for this site and our ultimate location for the realignment. And Michelle can talk about that further, but that was one of the things we discovered in our analysis was the sightline issues being tied to the curves in the road. Sure.
Yes, there's actually a vertical curve, a hill, located right where we're realigning the road. That's where we chose that location. So what you can see on the map that we handed out are the horizontal curves, and those sight lines are for the horizontal curves. But what you can't see is where we placed the road was just far enough east that we get close to the top of that curve so that you can see down. And it's a 6% grade going down towards Lake Oswego, and it's a little bit flatter coming up through the intersection. But that's very near the crest of that vertical curve, and that's why we chose that location.
So even cutting into the bank, and as Michael mentioned, there'd be challenges to that. It's a steep bank, and then in terms of the geotech.
Right. If we couldn't come this far east, we would be closer to like a 30 mile per hour design speed for the site distance. And by coming up to the top of the curve, we can get closer to what people are actually traveling, like 50 miles per hour site distance. Not quite as much. We're at about 40 miles per hour site distance coming down from the north around that curve because cars can't obviously travel that fast around that curve, although they do, and that's why they go off the road on occasion.
One of the other things we also realized in working on this project was the substandard pavement design. So when you're heading northbound on Boone's Ferry, you can't see that crest, and that's why we most likely have a number of the run-off-the-road accidents. Vehicles are speeding, they approach it, and then they react and go off the road. So this project will address that issue as well, fix the pavement, shift the center line over.
Yeah, do you want me to clarify that a little further? Right, we were talking about bringing this up to state standards. It's not really a state standard. What we found, our primary objective was to improve the sight lines for vehicles turning to and from the intersection because of the crash history with some rear-end collisions and some angle collisions with people turning out of Stevenson and getting hit by someone on Boone's Ferry. After we achieved the sight distance, we realized that the county, when they designed this road, it was only designed the horizontal curve for 35 miles per hour, or about 37 miles per hour. And the speed limit's 40. So what we decided is we could flatten that curve out just a little bit. I think we're shifting the center line about 6 feet, and that brings us up to a 45-mile-per-hour design speed, which will help keep people on the road and help prevent some of those run-off-the-road collisions. So it was really a secondary. It wasn't that we were trying to make things on Boone's Ferry faster, per se. It was more of a secondary. We're out here. We're already taking property. We should try to improve this curve if we can.
Yeah, and address as many safety issues as possible.
Could I just ask, this is listed as an emergency, and is there a reason why you ask us to adopt it now and not after a second reading? Is there a timing issue?
Well, we would like to go to construction this summer, and so the goal is to be able to start right away negotiations as soon as possible, make the offer to the property owners, and stay on schedule so we can get it out to bid and go to construction as planned. That's the only real emergency, per se.
And, you know, one of the folks who testified noted that they hoped there was a fair price for the land, mm-hmm. and I think it's worth just... if you could just give us a quick primer on how we get there. I know we negotiate, but there is a backstop process to make sure people get fair value. If you could just very briefly tell us what that is.
Yeah, definitely. Basically, when we have when we start negotiation processes, we actually have appraisals completed by contract MAI appraisers that deal in partial acquisition. These folks will actually come through. We give them the proposed right-of-way acquisitions, and then they come up with the values from that. These guys had a lot of experience working with different bureaus, ODOT, us, counties, everything. So the guys that we have are very experienced in parcel acquisition. So from this, they will assign value to the property. Then it's our duty to assign just compensation. And from there, we offer to the property owners. So basically, there's also, you know, appraisers are not infallible, so there also is the process of going through and speaking to the property owners. If there's anything that we missed whatsoever, then we will consider that as well. So it's kind of the process.
Could you touch on the future intersection question? That is, if there's further development, if this becomes a four-way instead of a three-way intersection, walk us through that.
Right. We actually have placed the top of the vertical curve happens to line up with where that access point would be on the property to the south. You can see in your map, it's the property directly adjacent from the new intersection. You can see the two property lines. It lines up. It won't be as wide because it'll be a subdivision street, so it won't have a three-lane section like the one that we're building, but it will line up sufficiently. And we've accommodated left turn lanes on Boone's Ferry. Primarily, we wanted one for access northbound onto Stevenson Street to prevent some of those rear-end collisions, although we are providing sight distance now so that you would be able to see a vehicle waiting there. But by doing that left turn lane, we're able to also have a shadowed-out left turn lane for the southbound into a future. Or we've also talked about doing a pedestrian refuge median there in the future as well.
Not a bad idea. And there's not sufficient traffic volume now to allow us to install a stoplight, even if the funds were available?
There aren't sufficient volumes now. That it doesn't meet our current warrants. And we looked at a future volumes analysis based on the metro growth model, the